Welcome, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Shemais. In preparing for Parshas Shemais, I'd like to share with you a Zohar, maybe the first time in 10 years, that one of the Divrei Torah is based on a Zohar. As you know, it's difficult to understand the Zohar unless you have a Chacham who interprets it for you. And this week, I'd like to present you an idea that comes from the Sichais, L'Sefer Shemais, from Rabbi Avigdor Nebenzahl. And he has a very yesidistic, a beautiful idea based on the Zohar in Parsha Shemais. The Zohar, which is quoted often, says the following. Vayimaru eschayehem, the Mitzrim made the lives of the Jews bitter. Ba'avoida kasha, says the Zohar, zukushya. Avoida kasha means a good kasha. B'chaymer, says the Zohar, da kal v'chaymer. That means they presented a hard kal v'chaymer. U'bolveinim, da libun halacha. This is working things out properly la'halacha. U'b'chal avayda basade, with all work in the field, says the Zohar, da b'raisa. This is the introduction of a b'raisa. B'raisa is outside the Mishnah, like a sade outside the city. The learning of b'raisas, Asha'abdu ben b'farech, da teku. Very hard work is when the Gemara ends with a teku, without a conclusion. What the Zohar seems to be saying is that in Mitzrayim, the Egyptians made the Jews work by asking them great kashas, giving them difficult kal v'chaymers, and the difficulties of tekus and the like. So it doesn't seem that that's what happened to Mitzrayim, and therefore the Zohar certainly needs an explanation. Rav Nebenzahl shares a yesod, which he quotes in the name of his father-in-law. And this yesod, Rav Nebenzahl himself writes about in a number of other places, as he points out. The yesod is that very often HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a gezeira, gives over to a Navi a prediction of something that will happen in the future. However, that prediction for a future occurrence is deliberately left vague, is left open to interpretation, because circumstances may change. After all, people have bechira. The easiest example I could give you is the nevuah we find in Sefer Yonah. Yonah is given a nevuah to go to the city of Nineveh and to tell them, Oid arba'im yaim v'Nineveh nehepeches. 40 days from now, the city of Nineveh will be turned upside down, meaning it will be destroyed. We understand that that's not what happened. In 40 days, they did tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu phrased the nevuah, Nineveh nehepeches, to say Nineveh is going to be turned upside down. It's your choice. If you turn it upside down from being Rishayim to turn to Tzadikim, that's fine. That will be a kiyum of this nevuah. If not, if you keep on going on the path of Rishayim, then the nevuah will be niskayim physically. Nineveh nehepeches will be turned upside down. This is the idea that a nevuah is given over in a way in which it's left open to the bechira, the free will of the people, to see how it works out. In our particular case, the aside here is this. Avraham Avinu at the Bris Ben Habsarim was told that will be in a strange land and they will work and they will be given pain for 400 years. The Nevuah didn't say where it would happen, didn't say exactly how they would be in pain or for how many years the actual pain would be. It said 400 years, but not when. And we do find that at the end, the Inu Isim was only 86 years. The being in a strange land was only 210 years. The Nevuah was somehow changed or developed with different reasoning when it came Lamaisa. And that's because every Nevuah is that way. Every Nevuah will happen. Is the 400 years only on being in a strange land? Or is it on the hard work? Is it on the pain? It depends what you do with it. So therefore, the Zohar says, had Klal Yisrael been worthy, had they suffered pain in understanding Torah, in understanding Kal V'Chaymer as good kushias and working on tekus, that would have been a kiyum hanevuah. They would have satisfied their obligation of hard work by doing that. It didn't happen that way. And therefore, they did have to work hard in Mitzrayim. Actually, says Rebbe Evanzup, it didn't happen that way because the Levim didn't work. And Chazal say the Levim didn't work because they were sitting and learning. And whoever's Isaac in Al Torah, Mavirim Imenu El Derech Eretz, the simple understanding is, since they learned, they were exempted from this takana. But Nebuchadnezzar says, no. Since they sat and learned, the takana happened to them too. But it happened to them with Kushya, Kavachaymer, Libun Halacha, Brisa, Teku. It happened to them that way. It's a beautiful insight, and he answers Akasha in Parshas B'Shalach. It says, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa, Chazal Darshan, that there are two Ad Yavars, there are two expressions of leaving Mitzrayim, and the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael was worthy for a second Ad Yavar in the days of Ezra. Had they been worthy in the days of Ezra, miracles would have taken place on the scale of the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Klal Yisrael was not worthy, and it did not happen. The kasha asked on this is that we have a rule. Nevuah l'tayv eina chayzeres. A nevuah for something good happening does not change. So here, there was a nevuah l'tayv that in the day of Ezra, good things would happen. How could that be changed? And the answer is, Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa doesn't say anything about Ezra. It says there will be an ultimate redemption which will be similar in scope to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Had Klal Yisrael been worthy, that nevuah would have happened in the days of Ezra. Since they were not worthy, we await still for that nevuah to take place. Now, this is an incredible thought. The idea Tamid Chachamim Marvin Shalom Ba'olam comes from this idea. There have to be certain wars in the world. When Tamid Chachamim are involved in Mochamtia Shel Taira, it takes away from it. But there's another. Another explanation, another application of greater value, which Reb Nebenzahl has in his Sefer Bereishis on page Mem Vav. We know that the nevuahs regarding Mashiach's coming are presented in Daniel and Zechariah and Malachi in rather hidden terms, not explicit terms. They are hints and not a precise explanation. What is the reason for this? Such Reb Nebenzahl, in line with everything we're saying. Because the nevuah of Yemais HaMashiach certainly will happen in a way that depends on the bechira, on the free will of people. And therefore, there's a general guideline for what will happen when Mashiach comes. How it will take place depends on how we do things. So Reb Nebenzahl, that's the Rambam, Hilchas Malachim, Perikid Beis, Pasuk Beis. The Rambam says regarding the nevuahs and the predictions of Mashiach's coming, Kol elu advarim ukiyotzu bahem, all of these things, lo yeda adam, a human being will not know, ech yiyu, how they will happen, ad sheyiyu, until they happen. Because Ninveh Nehepeches could be two ways, and many of the nevuahs regarding the Yemais HaMashiach are that way. The war of Gog u'Magog could be a physical, terrible war. Or it could be that there'll be a spiritual war, that the Jewish people will reject the preachers of the world around us, will reject the accepting of vulgar and inappropriate lifestyles, that Yidden will fight it. And Mechemes Gog u'Magog will be in heaven between the Tsar of Yisrael and the Tsar of Esav. How will the Mechama be? Le'yeda eshiyu ad sheyiyu. For each of us, it's a musr, that even if, God forbid, there's a gezeira against us, it could be mekuyim by tzarish al teira, by being mitzar oneself to go out to midyan at night on a freezing night where maybe there's no obligation, you have to travel far. But take that tzar in the place of other tzar. What a beautiful thought to take with us for this week's parasha. Let's move on to a second topic. We find incredibly that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to go to Mitzrayim because of the fact that Aaron HaKohen would feel bad. He doesn't go until HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him, V'racha v'samach b'libah, that there will be no hard feelings. Rav Druk, in bringing this here in Parshas Bereishis, said of a certain incident. It's printed in Darash Mordechai, but I remember him saying it with a little broader detail. He told the story of a Talmid Chacham named Rabbi Aaron Bakst, B-A-K-S-T. Rabbi Aaron Bakst was engaged. He was engaged to the daughter of the wealthiest man in the yeshiva world. It was a Yid by the name of Frank, who had a production facility, who manufactured things, and was the wealthy Jew of his generation in a time where there weren't many wealthy Jews. When he died at a young age, he told his wife to use his wealth to get for himself the three finest Talmidei Chachamim as sons-in-law for the three daughters he left behind. And indeed, his first daughter married Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, the Rav of Slotsk, of Kletsk, eventually of Yerushalayim. His second daughter was engaged to be married to Rabbi Aaron Bakst. Rabbi Aaron Bakst had a creative mind, and he was curious to see the manufacturing plant of the Frank family. When the Almana Frank heard this, she was disturbed. Her husband told her to find the best Talmidei Chachamim, and here we have a Talmid Chacham that spends time looking at Dvarim Shel Chayil. And when Rabbi Bakst heard of this, he agreed. If she, her heart was not in it, he would allow them to break the shidduch. And the engagement was broken. Eventually, this second daughter married Ramosha Mordechai Epstein, the Rosh Hashiva of Slabodka, Talmid Chacham Gadol. Many years later, the Alta of Slabodka approached Rabbi Aaron Bakst and offered him to be Rosh Hashiva in Slabodka. And Rabbi Aaron declined. And the Alta couldn't understand. He offered him again, and he declined. And finally, the Alta pressed Rabbi Aaron Bakst to explain. And he explained as follows. And Rav Druk explained that to be Rosh Hashiva in Slabodka in those days was good for Elam Hazeh and good for Elam Abba. Kol Yungalite had no income. They struggled in poverty. Rosh Hashiva had an income. It was good for Elam Hazeh. And for Elam Abba, to set up so many Talmidim, the best and brightest minds in all of Lithuania, would be in Slabodka. And he declined. Why? And Rav Bakst said the following incredible thing. He said, the Almana Frank had me as a potential daughter, a son-in-law. And then she felt I wasn't worthy and dropped it. Imagine if I become Rosh Hashiva in Slabodka, this nefesh this Almana will have. How much regret she will feel that she made a mistake. I can't do it and cause her pain. Take Rav Moshe Mordechai instead to be Rosh Hashiva. It's an incredible story of selflessness. It mirrors Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, just absolutely incredible. And so, this is a story which matches and teaches and matches the parsha. Absolutely beautiful. As I was coming to give this shiur, Rav Dickstein, Shlita, told me a beautiful vart. This will be our third vart. Et Revi, Perikim Pasagal, if Moshe Rabbeinu takes the sheep of Yisrael to the Har HaElikim Chayreva, up the mountain, where he finds the snare. The Targum, Unkelis, says the following. Moshe Havaroi Yasonet Yisrael Chamohi, Rabba the Midian. Moshe was the shepherd for the sheep of Yisrael. And he took a sheep after the most excellent pasture out into the desert, Vaasalatura, coming to the mountain. The question is, where in the Pasuk does it say he took them to Shvaraya, to excellent grazing area? He probably did, but why does that have to be part of the translation of the Pasuk? Ma'ara Shvaraya, why? The teretz that Rav Dickstein told me he heard many years ago is the following, beautiful. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Dafyani just passed it not long ago, that a shepherd is not allowed to take his sheep up a mountain because the air in the mountain is thin and some sheep will struggle and maybe even die from being exposed to that air. Except the Gemara says, if up the mountain there is an especially good area to graze, that's an exception. Then you're allowed to go up the mountain because the risk is outweighed by the benefit. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu took the sheep up a har, up a mountain. So the Targum says, you're going to have a kasha. Everybody's going to have a kasha. Why is he taking them up a mountain? The answer is, l'basa shvaraya, to a place with this excellent grazing area. Rav Dixon told me, it's not a mus of art. It's a halacha of art. But it's a beautiful art anyway. And I say, it's a mus of art too. It's a mus of art how every word of Torah is meduyik. Every word of Targum has a lesson in it, a tremendous lesson. All of Torah is interconnected. How beautiful. And with this, I wish one and all an absolutely wonderful, delightful Shabbos Pashas Shemais, a Shabbos of Aliyah in Avodas Hashem. May we all have a wonderful, absolutely wonderful Shabbos, benching Rosh Chodesh for the coming Chodesh of Shabbat. Kol Tov.